Hey, welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
All right, good morning, Victory Family Church. How are we doing today? Happy 4th of July to you. Awesome, awesome. Come on. We do celebrate that Independence Day. And I'm thankful to all of you who perhaps you serve, currently serving your veteran families thereof. We're so thankful to you for your sacrifice that you serve. And we're so thankful, as Sarah said, just for the freedoms that we have, that we're able to come together in this way today. It's not like that everywhere. It's not like that in every nation. And boy, it matters that we're thankful and that we value what we have. And so we're so blessed, and it's just good to be together today. And blessed and thankful to be delivering the word today. Good to be with you physically in the room here. We're excited about it. Along with that, though, right, you're not looking to me and I'm not looking to you. We're looking to Jesus. We're looking to the Holy Spirit to teach us, because he's the teacher. I can't help you, right? I can't help you in and of myself, right? Jesus said, apart from him, we can't do anything, but with him, all things are possible. So we're going to look to him. We're going to use a passage of scripture as we dive into this today, and then we're going to pray together. Ephesians chapter 4. If you have your Bible, physical, digital, whatever you got, you can check it out. Of course, it'll be on the screen as well. But Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to start with verse 11. Ephesians 4 and verse 11 says, and he, referring to Jesus, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds or pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, and deceitful schemes. Let's pray today. Father, I thank you so much for your word. Holy Spirit, we ask you to take this word and bring it to light. We look to you, Holy Spirit. You are the teacher of the church. We thank you that you do something in our hearts and our lives today. And we lean in with it at a place of expectation, believing that you speak to us, because we want to hear from you. We don't want to hear just from a person. We don't want to hear good ideas or good thoughts, ideas or suggestions. We want to be imparted to of your Holy Spirit. It's why we're here. And I thank you, Lord, that you would do that work, that you would do a great work in us, speaking things that we need, that we don't even know that we need, imparting things into us that the years of counseling or good ideas could never, ever do, but you can do in a moment, that we get our hopes up, our expectations up, our faith up in you today. And we thank you for doing it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Awesome. My son, Ethan, he just turned 5 years old just a few days ago. We got to celebrate. It was a great time. But it kind of got me thinking back on some fun Ethan sayings. Again, he just turned 5, and just a few, a handful of days ago, there's some one quotes. I just want to share a few fun Ethan quotes. You know, like kids, when you're growing up, right, you just don't always know what's going to come out. And there's some interesting perspectives and thoughts. Like, I never would have thought that, said that ever. That you just need a child to point some stuff out or to give you this perspective. And it's just awesome. So I just want to share a few fun Ethan quotes to get us kickstarted today. As we're talking about really growing up, Ephesians chapter 4 talked about mature manhood, growing up, developing him, and that we may no longer be children. So I want to share some fun children stuff, all right? So Ethan, a few days ago, I was talking to him about getting driving lessons from me one day, and I asked him if he was excited about it. And he said, yeah, I want to see how far forward the pedals go. Yeah, that's awesome. We're going to have to help him with that. Sarah, a while back, she was bringing up this snack on graham crackers and cream cheese, this kind of cool thing that I guess she'd seen somewhere, put it together, came out with it, and she said, you want something that'll change your life, and brought it out, right, kind of a joking way. Well, whenever we're eating it, Ethan goes, this is changing my life. It was really tasty. I had some, too. It was good. And another one early on in the potty training time period there with him, which is fun, right? Something that you really want to do in life. But actually, it went pretty smooth with him. But I was talking him through it. It's like, Ethan, like potty training, like this is what it is, this is why. And so the nice thing is, man, like once you're able to go on the potty, you don't have to wear diapers anymore. And his response was, I want to break diapers. Just want to break them. No more diapers, right? Come on, somebody. And we were all behind that. Absolutely, buddy. Let's break some diapers up in this place, man. Let's get delivered in Jesus' name. So, but you know, the passage right there in Ephesians chapter 4 actually talks about that God actually wants to break diapers. Come on. If you're taking notes today, here's a fun title, Breaking Diapers. Breaking Diapers. It talks about that God gave these gifts, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teachers. Why? To equip the saints. If you've given your life to Christ, do you know that you're a saint? You don't have to wait till you die. You're a saint today. You're also a priest, it tells us in 1 Peter. Isn't that interesting? You don't have to wear your collar backwards, but that's who you are. You're a saint. You're a priest. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, which is the fullness of the stature of Christ. I can tell you that God has a vision for your life and for my life, and it looks like Jesus. That's actually the place he has for you, is to look like, talk like, sound like, actually be like Jesus. That's what he enables us to do. It's an amazing thing to grow into mature manhood so that we would no longer be children. And the danger is, and we can all fall into this, no matter how long you've been saved, known God, haven't known God, wherever you may be within that, it's just so easy to remain in immaturity. And we know this even just naturally as human beings. Anybody ever want to just be a little childish? Come on. You just want to come home and you just want to like just have no responsibilities, right? Like, come on. You just want to kind of just be the kid. Some of you, don't raise your hand. You know somebody just generally. You've heard of such things as this, of just grown-ups that just need to grow up, right? Right? They're just kids, like they're just you know, selfish or whatever. You need to get a job or whatever it is, right? Like there's something in those categories. No elbows, please, today throughout the message. In general, right? But there are, just like there's natural dangers and issues that if we don't grow up just in a natural sense, we don't take some responsibilities, we're growing those things. The same thing is true spiritually. There are actually dangers and issues that when we don't grow up spiritually, we don't take the steps into what God has for us to be and what he's called us to do with our lives, and we remain in immaturity, and we all have areas in this regard, that there's actually issues and dangers and things that we get stuck in. And I can see at least four of them, and I'll go through them quickly, and most of them are found in where we read in Ephesians 4. But four issues, four dangers of being stuck in immaturity. The first one is drift. Drift. It says that God gave these gifts to equip the saints for the work of ministry. That there's a work of ministry that God has for you to accomplish. That you don't just exist in this life to live for retirement. He actually has a purpose and a plan for your life to get something done. That he says, I've fashioned you for this end. For you to reach this group of people, that unless you reach these people, it's not going to get done. That unless you step into this role and this sphere and at this time, God's got divine appointments for your future, a work he's called you into doing, both in your life outside of these walls, but also honestly within them, within the context of this local body, there's a part that only you can supply. And it's up to you and I to step into it. But when we remain in a place of immaturity, we don't grow, we don't develop. Man, we never step into that place. We just live on drift. We drift from solving problems in our life. We just drift to maybe our own version of God's promise and God's plan. We just kind of make up our own plan in the absence of that. We drift. The second thing that happens as well of a danger of being stuck in immaturity is defeat. Not only can we drift, but we can live defeated. We live overwhelmed by the issues of life. Can I tell you, there's so many issues oftentimes, not every issue in our lives, but many of them, that if we just grew up spiritually, it wouldn't be an issue anymore. That you can actually grow out of, just in the same way that as you get older, just on a natural physical level, you just grow out of your shoes. That there's some issues in life that just we got to grow. We got to enlarge our capacity. We got to enlarge our strength. And that's what, but when we don't do that, we live oftentimes defeated in life. We live overwhelmed and overcome by life's issues. We're just bound up in worry and anxiety and depression. We're bound up in sin and the same struggles. And we just live bowels. Oftentimes that's because there's some areas of maturing that God would want to lead us into. The third thing is deception. Deception. Verse 14 talks about being carried away by every wind of doctrine. Whenever we don't grow up spiritually, we are ignorant of truth. There's things that we just don't recognize. We don't pick up on. And honestly, the enemy of your soul and mine takes advantage of that. And now we start, like a child, we start to put some stuff in our mouths that we shouldn't have. Right? Everything goes in there. But not only are we sometimes ignorant of truth whenever we don't grow up, but it's also that we actually deceive ourselves. That James chapter 1 brings this out. It says to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer only, deceiving yourselves. That every word that I hear from God, and man, we've all done this, that I don't apply, I don't live it, and I'm satisfied in my knowing, and I don't actually make that transition from knowing it, being aware of it, to actually implementing, applying that word to my life, I live self-deceived. Because I think that I'm doing what I know simply by virtue of me knowing it. That's what happens when we don't choose to grow. Deception occurs. The fourth and final thing is division. Division. We have relational issues. We just can't play nice or play well with others. Right? It can show up in issues within our marriage or within a spouse or friends or loved ones. Right? And jealousy comes out and strife comes out and there's offense and bitterness. It's symptoms of immaturity that even the Apostle Paul puts his finger on and writing to a church. He says, I couldn't address you as spiritual people. Why? What did he see that was the tip off to that fact? He said, because you're jealous, you're envious of one another. There's divisions, there's offenses. You guys are fighting among each other. It's obvious that you're still just fleshly. You're not spiritual. You haven't grown up yet. So I had to talk to you like you were still kids in Christ. Right? So division can emerge. But God wants to help us to continue to grow up spiritually so we can go from drift to functioning and living in the purpose of God. To go from defeat into victory. To go from deception into the truth, knowing it and living it. Out of division into unity. Sound like a good idea? That's the purpose and plan of God for our lives. But part of why oftentimes that we get stuck in immaturity, not growing up spiritually, is because we have oftentimes wrong definitions of what it even means to be spiritually mature. We might think of someone who's just really passionate. They're just on fire for God. And you can just tell, man, they're just jazzed up. They're the ones that during worship, they've got their hands raised big and they're jumping up and down and kicking over chairs and all kinds of stuff. They're the ones that's out there going door to door sharing Jesus with everybody, right? Man, they're just passionate. They're fired up. And certainly they may very well be spiritually developing and mature, but that alone isn't necessarily the case. Scripture tells us that we can have zeal or passion, but not according to knowledge. And it can get us off course. Passion alone isn't it. Or maybe we think about, okay, maybe it's about how much somebody knows. It's the person that they can just quote the Bible. They just pull verses out of it. They have a Bible verse for everything, right? They just see something. That reminds me of such and such. Book and chapter what? And you're like, what? You know, honestly, sometimes my wife will kind of do this thing to me where she'll say, you know, it's kind of like Matthew 21. You know? And I'm like, What's in Matthew 21? Like, honestly, like, I feel like I should know, but so she'll do different chapters that she knows really well and really has a heart for, and I'll be like, I have no idea what's in there, right? And sometimes we can feel like, well, that alone is the measure of spiritual maturity. And so we pursue it that way. If I just knew, studied more of the Bible in general and got a theology degree, then maybe then I would be spiritually mature. But the most biblically, that wasn't literally the Bible that time, it was the law and the prophets, but the most biblically literate and studious people on the planet in Jesus' day were the same people that Jesus looked at and said, you're of your father, the devil. Isn't that fun? I don't think they gave him an offering after that, right? So just knowing it. And Jesus said, listen, guys, you study the word. You know it. You study it. You study the scriptures. But they testify about me. But you won't come to me. So we can get in the word and know a lot about it and yet miss God right in the middle of it. So it's not just about how much somebody knows. And it's not even just about how much somebody does. Maybe I served a lot, they give a lot, they really flow in the gifts of the Spirit. That's a big one. You gotta be really spiritual for that. Really spiritual to have words of knowledge and prophecy and all these kind of different things. That's for the really spiritual elite. Meanwhile, the Apostle Paul writes to a church in Corinth who has a lot of spiritual stuff going on. Speaking in tongues, the gifts of the Spirit flowing like crazy to the extreme and in crazy ways, which is why he's writing to them. And he tells them, I couldn't talk to you like you're spiritual people. I had to address you like you're infants, newborn children in Christ. So it's not even just about all the spiritual things that we might think of that somebody does. And so what is it, Pastor Sean? Let's just get to the positive side of it. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Gives us a clue into it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. This is that part where the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, telling him like this. He says, I, brothers, I could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. And I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you're not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? I want to draw your attention. Look at how many times he talks about in relation to them, in contrasting them being spiritual. He says, instead of you being spiritual, this is what I see. As people of the flesh, you're infants in Christ. And he says, even now you're not ready. You are still of the flesh. While there's jealousy, there's strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? Can I tell you that our spiritual maturity, our level of spiritual maturity isn't about how passionate we are, how much we know, how much we do. Our spiritual maturity is defined by what part of our being governs our lives. Our flesh or spirit? What part of our being most governs our life? If I'm spiritually mature in an area, it's because my born-again spirit is governing my life in that area. If I am relatively immature, and we all have areas in both of these categories, if there's immaturity, it's because my flesh is dominating me in that area. It's calling the shots. Our level of spiritual maturity is defined by what part of our being governs our lives, the flesh or spirit. Let me give you an illustration around this, because this might be confusing for people, because sometimes when we think about, when I give my life to Christ, man, that's it. Like, everything's going to be awesome from here on out, right? Everything's all new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If any person is in Christ, Jesus is your Lord and Savior. It says, what is it? You are now a new creation. Behold, all things have become new. The old is all passed away. And he thought, awesome, that means I'm going to have a six-pack now in Jesus' name. Come on. But, you know, Edward says, like, well, all things means all things, right? All things have become new. But wait a minute, I wake up the next morning, I still look the same. Why did I get a new? Wait a minute. And we met, but I still have some of the same struggles that I had before I got saved, and I'm still thinking about maybe some of the things I used to think about it. But wait a minute, I still feel this way. What happened? Because what happened is that you're made brand new spiritually. You were born of the Spirit of God, which is why it's so important. You know, Christianity, following Jesus, it is not a commitment to a religion. It is not a commitment to follow a particular set of teachings. You can get that without Jesus dying on the cross. He just would have said, here's some rules, follow them. Right? It is about going from death to life. It is not about getting better.
Come on.
Forget about just getting better. Jesus did not die for life improvement. He didn't come to make bad people good people. He came to make dead people alive.
There you go.
Right? If you're bad, you can behave your way into getting better. But if you're dead, you can't behave your way into life. And most people's struggle is they try to behave their way there instead of believe their way there. And that's what takes us out of death into life. It's because you believed, Jesus, you're the Son of God. You died on that cross as payment for my sin. A debt I could never pay, but to be eternally judged forever in hell, separated from you. But you did it for me. You paid for it. So I receive that. I believe that. And now I'm made new in Christ Jesus. I'm a new creation. But we go, wait a minute, but some stuff still feels old. Why is that? Let me give you an illustration and a picture. Imagine you have just an old, old computer. And it's so old, so outdated, and you've had it so long, you've just picked up all kinds of viruses on that thing, right? Because you fell for a scammer or whatever, I don't know. You got all kinds of viruses on there. You're sending money to China and different places, India. And so you've got all kinds of issues. You got malware. It's bad. And it's not even being supported. Didn't get any updates, so there's security issues. You're getting hacked. So like, maybe I should buy a new computer. So you decide to buy a new computer. You get that new hardware. It's shiny. It's nice. It's awesome. But you're like, you know what? There are some parts. I know it was bad back then, but there's some parts about this old software, those old viruses. They weren't all bad, right? So you poured all that stuff over into the new computer, the new physical hardware, all the new components, but you're still running all the old software, all the old viruses are on it. How effective is that computer going to be in its operation? Not so good. Why? You got new hardware. It's a new computer. Why wouldn't it be awesome? You got faster speed, more memory, all this kind of stuff. Why doesn't it work the same way? Because of the software it's running. Can I tell you that spiritually the same thing is true? When we are born again, we get a brand new spirit. We get new hardware. Thank you, Jesus. But oftentimes, scriptures, he tells us that in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, that we're transformed, even after we're saved, by the renewing of our mind. That's software. The system that we're running on, the thoughts, the beliefs, our default way of thinking and believing and acting is a part of that old software. And I want to give us here a picture, because this is where we all start. Can we get this diagram up here? Where we all start when we first get saved. Woohoo! Awesome. Right? Is that we still, as a default, again, we're talking about spiritual maturity. What governs my life? Is that by default, we live, and every person on the planet outside of Christ and getting basically born in the Spirit of God and functioning within that, we default to responding out of our flesh, our five physical senses, and that old sinful nature that we're just familiar and comfortable with. So, and that flesh, what we see, we're already seeing, hearing, feeling, that flesh governs how we think, how we speak, and how we act. So if somebody cuts me off on the road, flesh goes, oh, no, you didn't. And then that automatically governs, it dictates how I'm going to think, not some happy thoughts, how I'm going to speak, not some kind words that you probably wouldn't speak in church, and also how you act. You might say, oh, really? And you might get in front of them, cut them off, and slow down a little bit. Help them feel the grace of God for just a moment. Say, you just want to pass along the gift that you sent my way. Right back at you. I'm re-gifting. Re-gifting. What is that? That's my flesh governing how I'm thinking, how I'm speaking, how I'm acting. Right? We can go down the lines of, just fill in the blank, marriage, no elbows. You did it again. You said that. You spoke to me that way. You did. Oh, really? That's going to govern how I'm thinking, how I'm going to speak to you right now, how I'm going to treat you right now, because nobody does. Right? That's flesh. You spit on me, I spit on you. Right? You treat me that way, that's how I'm going to treat you right back. That's the nature of flesh. Right? And that's where we all begin when we're born again, because we still got that old software. We're still got some old viruses and some things that, even though we're made new, our minds are still operating on the old. Our hearts can still have that tendency toward the old of what came before. And so we say what we see. And if it looks bad, man, this is just all bad. Oh, it's all going down in here. And if I hear about something negative, well, I guess that's just how it's going to be. Yeah. And I define myself by how I feel. Man, I don't feel very free right now. So, man, I just feel so depressed. And we just live stuck in that place of defeat because we're looking to and we're defined by just the flesh, the things we see naturally through those five physical senses and that we feel, right? But the good news is there's another way that we can live. There's another place that we can live out of, and that's the place of growing up in Him, of moving outside of just yielding to flesh and defaulting, letting that govern how I think, letting that govern how I speak, letting that govern my behavior, that I can actually go to another place. We can grow up spiritually. And 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 tells us how. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. It says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk. That's the word of God. So that by it, you may grow up in your salvation. By it, you may grow up in your salvation. In the same way that a baby is born, crying. That's my best imitation. Crying and right away, like, man, they're hungry. Give me something to eat. It's like one of the first things, like, give me some milk, right? And in the same way, have that same desire, the same crying out hunger for that. Why? Because that's how you're going to grow. That's how you're going to grow. That's how you're going to develop. And so let's put the other diagram up here, because in contrast, rather than responding out of the flesh, that this is the growth track, if you will, of us growing up spiritually. So for our visual learners out there, we've got another diagram. All right. And this is where we just read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. And desire that milk, the milk of the word of God, which is the same thing that the Apostle Paul said to the church in Corinth. I fed you with milk, not solid food. You weren't ready for that yet. How many of you know babies don't go to buffets? And so I'll have some of that. That would be fantastic. You know, they don't eat steak, right? So the nature of what a child eats is different than an adult. And the quantity that a child eats is different than an adult. Right? I remember the first time ever in my life, maybe this would be the same for you, maybe for you right now, but the first time ever seeing a message. I was part of this Bible study group. And in advance of that group of us meeting together on this Friday, we had to listen to this message. And the message was like an hour long. And I thought, Jesus, take the wheel. I don't know about that. An hour-long message, and maybe that's where you're at right now. This will not be an hour-long message today, okay? But you're going, that seems way overly long. That seems dull, boring, my goodness, right? But most everything I listened to was like the 25, 30, 35 minutes, like tops, right? Like that's where I'm at. I'm good there, right? In the same way, a child, when they are born, their stomach is like this big. So they have to eat more often throughout the day, right? So the quantity that they can actually absorb is going to be really different, and that's okay, right? You start where you're at. Don't feel like you have to copy someone else's Herculean spiritual efforts. You are where you are. Just start there. And just do that and you'll grow. Capacity grows. What you're able to absorb will grow over time, right? So we desire the milk of the Word of God. Why? What's the purpose of that? We get into the Word of God because it will form beliefs in our hearts, in our minds, persuasions, convictions within us. And or it will strengthen them. Things that we already know that we need to be reminded of and reminded of and reminded of. And we need it to be reminded of. I forgot about that. Yeah, I knew that. But it will strengthen and form these beliefs, these convictions. Oh, okay, so this is the operating system. This is how I function because I'm a new creation in Christ. This then is how, okay, this is how I should value this or think about this or speak about this or treat so-and-so and respond to this situation. It gives me this new place I can respond out of these beliefs. And out of that place, now those beliefs begin to govern how I think and how I speak and how I act. That's the track of growing up spiritually. And so let's get some examples. So because here's where we get it wrong. Let's start here. Where we oftentimes get it wrong is we see things that we're thinking, that we're speaking, and behaviors out of us that we think, man, I don't like that. I don't want that to be that way. But it is this way. Man, this stuff is broken. I'm stuck in this sin, this addiction. I'm struggling with worry, depression, anxiety. I have this issue in my marriage, and I'm talking like this. I know it's not good, and they're talking, and I'm responding to so-and-so, and I know it's not good, but I always do. And so as we see things coming out of us and thoughts in our mind, that we're like, I don't like that. And so typically the response is that we take all of our efforts and we put it toward, all right, I just need to think more positively. Okay, I'm just going to think more positive thoughts. Think more positive thoughts. Think more positive thoughts. I'm just going to just not talk like that. I'm going to make a firm commitment. I'm just going to not talk like that. I'm going to start talking like this. And so we put our efforts into modifying our behavior rather than establishing beliefs that'll govern our life. And so we get stuck over here. And listen, you can see some success over on this side of things and putting your efforts into there and modifying that and managing that behavior and those actions and those thoughts. You can see some level of success, but that's not freedom. That's not freedom. Christ died to make you free. And if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. We're here to help you find freedom in your life. Well, but how does freedom come? Through just trying to do better? Listen, if you could make it better, wouldn't you have made it better by now? So how about a different approach? So the Word of God is where it all starts. At the Word of God, we receive with meekness the engrafted Word. Scripture tells us that it's able to save our soul, our mind, our will, and emotions, the part that needs new software, new thoughts, new beliefs. And so we receive the Word of God. So maybe I'm just stuck and I'm bound up in sin. And I just like, oh, man. And I'm used to responding out of my flesh, right? Man, I'm just depressed. I'm always struggling. I never get that. And so that's what's coming out of my mouth. I'm talking like I'm bound. I'm talking like, oh, this is just so, I just can't. And I'm not. What's the answer? I need the Word of God to come in and give me a different place from which to respond and to bring life and to bring freedom. So I go to the Word of God and I find out I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I don't feel like that. But I get the Word of God and I let that form and strengthen this belief that, wait a minute, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I find out another word about how the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. I don't have to live under that cycle of sin and death and sin producing death and sin producing death. I don't have to live. I can live in the law of the Spirit of life. That's who I am. And I'm seated together with Christ in heavenly places. And he makes me more than a conqueror through him who loved me. And I get that word in my life. And it forms and it strengthens that belief in my life to such an extent that now I'm persuaded in my heart. Now that begins to govern how I think. And now I think righteous. And now I think right about this. Now I'm speaking that way. No, this is who I am now. It might not be how I feel. It might maybe not even completely how I'm living right now. But this is who I've been made to be. This is the new hardware I've been given. This is who I am in Christ. That's how I'm going to think.
That's how I'm going to talk. That's how I'm going to believe. That's how I'm going to then act now. This is who I am. And but it's responding out of the Word of God, establishing that belief. And I get to choose whether I yield to that flesh or I yield to the belief that the Word of God is establishing in my life. Can we look at another one? What about sickness? Man, I've got sickness, disease in my body. And so I can live out of my flesh. Let's go ahead and put both of them up there, the diagram with the both and. I can respond out of the flesh. I say, man, I've heard the doctor say I've got 2 months to live. Well, I guess, and I let that govern me. Well, I guess that's what it is. I mean, they're the experts, right? So I guess that's what's going to happen. And start to think that way, speak that way, and act that way. Like, oh, man, let that govern my life. Or I get into the Word of God, and I see women by Jesus' stripes, I've been healed. And maybe I've been struggling with thinking, I know God's able to heal me, but does he want to? What about his willingness? And you find out that you never see a place in Scripture where God says, nah, not for you. That every person that comes to Jesus, he didn't say, yeah, but you're not this enough to be healed. I don't know, God picks some, yes, some no. And today, I'm thinking no for you. But you know, you get persuaded by the Word of God, right? That this is who my God is. This is what he died to provide for me. This is who, and so that forms and strengthens and establishes the beliefs in my heart. We're not going to have a sense of conviction. No, I know this is what God has for me. And I let that govern how I think.
Yeah.
So now I'm thinking healed. And now I'm talking healed. And I'm acting healed. Right? It's accessing. See, Jesus took people on a journey. Whenever he encountered in his own hometown, whenever people didn't receive him because they were so familiar with Jesus on a natural level. Well, we know this boy Jesus grew up here in this hometown. We know his sisters. We know his dad. Isn't that the carpenter's son guy? Like, yeah, we know him. We're familiar with him. And he's healing people and he's preaching and teaching and he's got this anointing thing on him and all that kind of stuff. Like, what? I don't know about that. I know him. That was their response. And Jesus is that he was unable, because of their unbelief, he was unable to do any mighty work there, which is a crazy thought, unbelief limiting God in your life. And so in the midst of that, Jesus' response, other than marveling at their unbelief, it says the next verse after that, he went about through the villages teaching. I want you to notice that the remedy for the unbelief was teaching. Why? Because teaching, biblical teaching of the Word of God, gives you a different place from which you can respond. You don't have to respond out of flesh. Then now I get the Word of God on something. Because Jesus was giving them, he was teaching, he was forming and strengthening some beliefs in them that they would need to receive healing from him. So that those beliefs could govern their ability to respond and actually act on it and think about and actually have expectation and hope now that I can receive this and I can believe and receive that healing work in my body and that work in my life. Biblical teaching, it gives us something other than our flesh to govern our lives by. No matter what area of struggle it is, we always have in just everyday life, we always have the decision to respond out of our flesh or respond out of the beliefs, out of the Word of God. We always have the decision. And some areas, if you think about your life right now and you'll be honest, there's some areas in which you look at and you go, I'm a little more on the bottom half. I'm a little more on the flesh side, and that's governing how I'm thinking, talking, treating my spouse, treating my kids, treating this issue and area of my life. Or some areas in which, like, awesome, I'm much better at yielding to these beliefs and convictions, and the Word of God is established in my life, and I'm thinking that way, I'm speaking that way, I'm acting that way. Awesome. We all have areas in both categories. Some are more mature, some are less. But what's the answer when we find ourselves, so important, when we find ourselves stuck in a place where, man, flesh is coming out through how we're thinking, talking, and acting. What do we need to do? Try harder? Do different? Or do we need to go back to the Word of God? We go back to the Word of God and say, Lord, what is it? What is it? What does your Word say about this issue as spiritually mature, growing up spiritually, is I live governed by the Word of God, building these beliefs, building in these convictions, and that governs my life. That's the response that comes out of my heart. It comes out of my words. It comes out of me. That's why it's so important as we get to the end of this now. It's so important that we get into the Word of God, that we get into the Bible. It's not just a religious exercise. It's not so you can just know more of the Bible. It's to do what? It's to form and to strengthen these beliefs, to give you another place to respond to life. When life comes knocking, you go, wait a minute, I know what the Word says about this. And I'm going to talk that way. I'm not going to talk depressed. I'm not going to talk defeated. I've been made more than a conqueror through him who loved me and gave himself for me. That won't come out of you unless the Word of God has been formed and fashioned in your heart to establish that belief, to give you a different place to respond, to let that govern your life. And that is the picture of growing up spiritually. And can I give you a practical thing? Maybe this is even a little bit newer to you. Can I give you just a simple thing? If you've received Jesus as your Savior and as your Lord, I would encourage you this with a simple step, is to read the epistles. You say, what is epistle? Why am I reading it? The epistles, it's a fancy word for letters. They're letters written mostly to churches, some to individuals as well. And where that is, the New Testament. So if you have a physical Bible to the right side, if it's in the app, keep scrolling longer to the bottom and start in the book of Romans. Romans through Jude, which is right before Revelation, which is the last book of the Bible and the New Testament. If you read through there, all those different letters, they're full of things, especially Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, those four, they're right next to each other, or some in particular, of establishing beliefs about who you are in Christ and because of him. And diving into those places and let that begin to fashion who you are and how we think, how we speak, how we act, because of the new hardware, because you're made new in him, because of you, who you are in Christ Jesus. Can I pray for us right now? Father God, I thank you so much. Thank you so much for your Holy Spirit who teaches us, who leads us into all of the truth. I thank you that as we abide in you and your word abides in us, Jesus, that we know the truth and the truth sets us free. I thank you so much, Lord, for the grace of God within your word that does a work in our hearts. And we endeavor, Lord, to not be content with just knowing about you, not content with even just knowing the word that we've known, we've come to know up to this point, that we do desire your word. We desire the milk of the word of God. We desire to grow spiritually in you, to not be stuck in drifting, not be stuck in defeat, not be stuck in division. Issues of life, Father God, I thank you that you help us by your word. You set us free. There's things in our life right now, today, where you want to help us, and you want to help us to grow by your word. You want to help us to grow by your spirit. And I thank you, Father God, that we say yes to it, and we thank you and praise you for that. So our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed in this moment. I don't want to take for granted that you've come to know Christ for yourself. You know, the first step is simply making Jesus your Lord, your Savior, believing upon him, believing that he died upon the cross as the Son of God, all man, but dying upon the cross as payment for your sin and my sin, that he became it. And he died, but he rose from the dead, triumphing over sin, over the grave, so that he could offer you and offer me the gift of life, eternal life. To be made new, to be made whole, to know him and walk with him. That's not a commitment to religion. That's not something that you take a particular religious exercise to be a part of. Listen, no communion, no baptism, nothing. No religious exercise, no confirmation or anything can make you right with God. If so, God would have sent that. He didn't send that. He sent Jesus. Have you received him as your Savior and Lord? Again, I'm not talking about a commitment to a church. I'm talking about you receiving Jesus as your Savior, your Lord, believing upon him. If you don't know that you've done that, I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that right here, right now. And we're going to pray a prayer out loud together, right where you're seated. We're going to celebrate that decision together with you. But I want to give you a chance to acknowledge by lifting up your hand on the count of three to say, I need to make Jesus my Lord and my Savior. I don't know that I've done that, but I want to do it today. On the count of three, with everyone's head bowed, eyes closed, I'll look, I'll acknowledge it and celebrate that with you. On the count of three, would you lift up your hand for a second and say, I need to make Jesus the Lord of my life. One, two, three. Lift it up for a second. Put it back down. God bless you. I see it. God bless you. I see it. Awesome. Excited for you. God bless you. I see it. So excited for you. Who else today? You can put it up for a second. Put it right back down. You can put it right back down. I see it. So excited for you. We celebrate. Anybody else today? Haven't made that decision, want to do it today. Awesome. We're so excited for you guys. So excited. Listen, we're going to repeat this prayer. Just repeat after me. And I tell you, this prayer in and of itself isn't what saves you. It's what's happening in your heart. It's the faith that you're expressing through your words, but it's what's in your heart. And so just repeat it out loud. Mean it from your heart as you say it. We're all going to repeat it out loud together with you as we celebrate that with you. So repeat this where you can hear it. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I believe he is the Son of God. He died on the cross for my sins. And he rose from the dead so I could have new life. Jesus, I confess you as my Savior, my Lord. I believe you are the Son of God. And I am now a child of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's celebrate with those that made that decision today. We're so excited for you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Victory Family Church. If you enjoyed listening, please take a moment to rate, review, and share. For more resources, including locations and service times, please visit lifeatvictory.com.